Welcome to Manager Tools. Internal Talent Markets, Chapter 1, Free Agency. This cast answers these questions. What can I do to help retain employees for the organization? How can we get the most out of the talent we have? What policies stifle or reduce internal talent markets? Well, if you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening. Here we go.
Did you hear? The M conference this year will be video recorded. All in-person attendees will receive a copy of the videoed sessions, and we've made available to all a video-only product as well. Have you been wanting to attend the M conference, but in light of everything that's happened in 2020, you're simply not able to travel? You're not alone. Consider buying the video-only version of our 2020 M conference speaker sessions today. More information can be found by visiting manager-tools.com/training.
We said this before, Marco, though. I don't think we've done a cast, otherwise we wouldn't be talking right now. But internal talent markets should be nearly frictionless. And that is generally not, has not been my experience, let's put it that way.
Yeah, I think one of the neatest things that's happened to me in the last 30 years as I've studied management is the realization that I didn't know when I was 20, 25, that markets exist internally in organizations. And generally speaking, if an external market responds well to regulation or freedom, then so does an internal market. In fact, the whole idea of organizations being organic, and therefore, as a general rule, organic things do better when they're in stasis or in agreement with their ecosystem, I find fascinating, and it helps me think about why we ought to do what we ought to do relative to companies and so on. Nobody really thinks they can affect the marketplace. The marketplace just sort of happens. And I try to tell people that, by the way, and they say, no, the marketplace is a very carefully considered thing. And I said, no, it really isn't. This isn't socialism or communism. It's capitalism, and it's not a system, actually. It's a series of events that are individually triggered. And so what happens in companies is people think that the market is a free event. It's a free system. But companies somehow, by executives, by leaders, can be controlled. And we're going to regulate the internal market, and that'll make us better. And that's not a good thing. You know, if you're an individual contributor, or even if you're a manager, if you have to get approval from your boss to apply from another job, to apply for another job internally, but you don't trust your boss, that's a problem. That's an internal policy that may have good intentions that can cause a top performer to go, you know, I don't want to ask my boss, have some repercussions, catch him or her in a bad mood, and lose my job. And then when I go search for my job, have to tell people, yeah, I was let go if I'm an honest person. And one of Horstman's laws is don't job search when you have to, job search when you want to. Now, the company might have said, oh, no, you know, we want you to ask your boss because the company needs to know these things. The company has succession plans. The company has ideas about things. And we can't just have people running around wherever they want. But a well-intentioned policy ends up having regrettable consequences all too often.
It's funny what organizations do. I've shared this story with you before, probably never on the cast, but a long time ago, I was working for a very large Fortune 10 company. and I was frustrated with kind of this particular thing, right? I wanted to do something different. And in this particular organization, I had to get approval from my manager. My manager wasn't likely to grant me that ability to go somewhere else within the organization. And then compounded by the fact, I only found out after I had left, after I had resigned and went to work for another company, which I loved, by the way, only then did I find out that I was on this like high potential list.
Yeah.
Right. It's like what? Well, and I asked my manager afterwards. We remained friends. I wasn't unfriendly with him. We remained friends.
Right.
And
yeah.
He said, well, I wasn't allowed to tell you. It's like, why would you not tell me that?
Oh my.
Right. And at the time, like, you know, I thought I was going to be the next CEO, right? I was like, I had lots of goals and objectives.
Mike, I got to tell you, you've not told me that story.
I have not.
And that's the first time I've ever heard. Now it's just a hole in my learning. Maybe that happens all the time, but I've never heard of a company saying somebody's going to be on the HIPO list and then you're forbidden from telling them.
I was shocked. I don't
That's
know
all
that
kinds
it
of
wouldn't.
Wrong.
I'm not sure it would have changed my mind.
No, yeah,
but,
sure.
But
yeah.
It would have been a factor because sure. One of my frustrations was I only got promoted once a year. So,
folks, if you don't know,
I'm an idiot.
The I only got promoted once a year. If you're wondering what that means is wanting to get promoted faster than once a year is probably a bridge too far.
If you're
a 22 or 23 year old and said, why is he upset? You know, well, because getting promoted once a year is pretty darn good.
Yeah.
And you might be sitting there going, no, I really think I've got a lot to offer. I, you know, they need to get me in a position where I can do something. Yeah. Dream on, brother. It's probably not going to happen. I mean, there's 10,000, 20,000, 30,000 people in your company and you're one. And, certainly growth helps.
And to be clear, guys, I joked I was stupid. Or no, I think I said I was an idiot. To be honest, I was promoted faster than I should have been. Frankly, there were some holes and gaps in my understanding as a manager when I got to that point as a function of not spending time. And sometimes learning anything, and management is no exception. It could be learning to play golf. Do you play golf or you golf? You always correct me on that one. Learning to play guitars. Sometimes you want to learn something. There is no other way to do it other than spending hours and hours and hours and doing the ridiculously simple to the point where you can do it well. And I was young and I didn't understand that. And I wish I had.
Okay. I don't know how we got here, but it was good. Yeah, good. Okay. So let's talk about internal talent markets. I've got 5 points we want to share. First of all, this is about free agency. So the first thing you're going to do with all of your people, regardless of internal market rules, is communicate to your directs that they are free agents fairly quickly once they come to work for you. You've also got to educate them on your organization's policies and procedures and so on. So you'll have to do a little work to understand what that is, because the vast majority, particularly individual contributors, have no idea. And to be fair, it's not hard. You can just add it to your onboarding process if you want. You definitely want to communicate, if you follow our guidance, your 150% rule. You also want to communicate your transition process so that people don't just think they can bail on you. And then probably it's a good time to talk about results and relationships, which is our way of helping you guide people, right, in the two most important things in their career, getting the job done and making sure they have good relationships, because relationships matter in careers, not only in terms of where your friends are at other companies, but where your friends are at the company you're already at.
Cool. Now, let's just talk about communicating the policy to your directs. I find it interesting and I get a little bit sad the number of times managers assume their directs know something. It should be just obvious. There's no policy against you moving to other parts of the organization. So therefore, as a direct, you should understand that you can do that. And that is almost never true, right?
Yeah. This goes back to, I've got to find a horseman's law for it. By the way, for those of you who are listening, if you're, you know, we're recording this in June of 2020, and we've done a fairly comprehensive sweep of all of the nearly 2 million words in our show notes. And I think we have close to 30 or 40 more horseman's laws. They're not the core eight, but they're ones with their own titles, like horseman's law of overgeneralization. Never create a policy to correct the mistakes of one person. And one of the things I've learned about learning and about growth is that once we learn something, we forgot we ever didn't know it. And so at some point, from becoming an individual contributor, a manager, a senior manager, you realize, oh, there are policies here. And you forget that you didn't know that when you first started at the organization. And so it's way better to help your people understand. And this is a particularly good thing for those of your people who are well aligned with the company and want to have a career there and want to get promoted. The more they know, the better off they're going to be, the less likely they are to step on landmines. So rather than simply assuming that your organization's policy is well known, you should tell your people. But in addition, rather than assuming that your organization's policy can limit you, that you should just fall in line with whatever your organization's policy is, we suggest you have an opportunity to think differently. Even if, guys, your organization doesn't require approval or even notification, don't assume that means your people feel that they can make moves without your approval, formal or informal. If they came from a place that was fairly locked down, that had a fairly restricted internal talent market, then by gosh, they probably assume that's true for you. And for all you know, they got burned. Hey, why did they leave their other company? So think of it this way. Imagine one of your better performing directs having an interest in an internal transfer. I mean, just look at all the ways this could go wrong. She knows the manager over in the area she wants to go to. She's pretty sure she has the right skills for him. Now remember, she's one of your top performers. It's in an area she wants to move towards career-wise. So it's starting to line up to look like a pretty good consideration here. From a disinterested person's perspective, if the manager over there wants to hire her, the move of her to over there probably increases the organization's chances of retaining her. And for those of you who don't know, I say this all the time at conferences. I actually said it a couple of days ago in Silicon Valley. Your retention score, guys, does not just mean keeping people on your team. It means keeping them in the company. If one of your people leaves to go to another company, that's not a retention ding for you. It's only a retention ding when they quit or go to another company. Or when they get fired. Now look, at the same time, your direct thinks, I'm one of the better ones on my boss's team. He's not going to feel great about me leaving. Gosh, that makes his job, my boss's job, harder. Going further, regardless of what your company policies are, your effective direct may feel an obligation of loyalty to you. What's more, she may feel that telling you could create not just problems within the team's results, but political problems for you. For all she knows, if she tells you, you have to tell your boss, and that might be problematic. She doesn't know. What this ought to teach us is, bottom line, whether your organization requires a direct to notify you, let alone get your approval for release, your directs may feel obligated professionally to let you know. So she decides now's not the time. All made up in her head. That's a shame.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, and it all happened in her head and you don't know about it. And now there's a grain of sand of resentment to you. No, sorry, you represent the company and more largely to the company as well. That could grow into some ugly fruit. So there are too many barriers, official and unofficial, political, relational, to justify making it any harder than it already is for our directs to get to where they can make the most difference for the firm. So we have to communicate to them early on in their relationship with us that they're a free agent. They don't have to get our approval. They don't have to let us know what they're doing. They can find a better spot for them on their own. Now, you might say, but wait, my company has a policy they have to let me know. Yes, that may be so. And you say to your people, you don't have to let me know. Now, you need to know your policy, because if you're supposed to tell your boss, okay, that's fine. Your direct can let you know, but they're not thinking that they shouldn't do it. You can tell them you're a free agent. I won't stop you. OK, Okay. Yes, you have to let me know. Yes, I'm obligated to tell my boss. You can't leave me hanging in the wind. Although maybe you could, and I'll just apologize to my boss. But I'm not going to stop you. I'm never going to stop you. You go out, you find a better job. I want you to find a better job for you in this company. And I'll tell you why I'm doing this, because that's what I want my boss to do for me. I don't want to be a barrier to your future. Now, I don't want the company to lose you, and I make no bones about it. It'll make it harder for me. But if every time somebody thinks about moving, the boss says, oh, that'll make it harder for me, nobody ever moves anywhere. And then suddenly, we get hidebound. We get calcified. We get arthritic. We get necrotic. And we end up working against ourselves. And look, telling your people that they're free agents and they don't need your approval isn't a big responsibility. This doesn't take a lot of time. It's something you can mention early in one of your one-on-ones in the first couple of months they work there.
I just love this so much because we often go around telling people, well, we make decisions that are not the best for us. We make decisions for the company, right? Mm-hmm. I represent the company to you, and I'm going to make decisions that are best for the company. And it sounds great, but how often do managers absolutely show that they're not interested in that, and they're more interested in making decisions that are of personal interest and personal benefit to them? And here's a way to do that. When you tell people this, they go like, oh my God, because they know if they leave, the pain it's going to create for you, there's no doubt in their heads.
I think when individual managers or senior managers or directors make decisions that are, let's call them selfish, no offense, I actually see that there are a number of different motivations for them. Some managers are selfish. Some managers don't understand about internal talent markets. They don't understand how organizations are supposed to work. I didn't when I was 25. So, okay, we just don't know any better. So you think, okay, well, I keep getting messages from the company about policies. They're not asking me. Apparently, the company's doing what makes sense for the company. I better do what makes sense for me. And they do it innocently, if you'll pardon the expression, while essentially working against the better interests of really themselves and the entire organization. I always like to say, okay, let's put the shoe on the other foot. A really good employee is working for a fellow manager, and they're kind of a round peg in a square hole. And they get to know you over the course of a special project for a year. And that person says, you know, your team is more closely aligned to where I want my career to be. And you trust them and they trust you. And so why wouldn't they come to work for you? The company will probably get more productivity out of them. And then, of course, you're told, no, they have to tell their boss. And the boss says, no. Now, mind you, let's take that a step further. If that's the case, and the person you want to hire is restricted because of internal talent market regulations, one thing you can do is sit down with them and say, look, we can conduct the entire unofficial shadow recruiting process in silence. And I'm willing to take you through the interview process or have a soft interviewing process. And I trust myself that if you're good enough, I'll let you know that the moment you let your boss know that you want to move, if there's a way to make it happen, and for that matter, maybe I can help politically, you won't have any risk. In other words, you don't have to tell your boss, I want to go interview for another opportunity. You can tell him that, but you can know in your heart, it's not a risk. I'll hire you. You can come over to my team. There are things you can do like that that I think people forget when companies put out policies, because managers don't want to do things that appear to rub up against the policy in the wrong way. But guys, I got to tell you, rubbing up against a policy the wrong way without violating a policy is not usually a punishable offense. In fact, that's part of the game of politics. And as we've told you for years, and we haven't talked about politics lately on the show, but as we've been telling you for years, politics are just relationship effects. And if you're 22, 25, 27, and you think that you're going to have a career where you don't play politics, you might as well just put down the baton now because you're smoking crack. It is not going to happen. The ability to be so good and to have such good results and to be apolitical and to not have relationships and then not to have a friend of yours lean on a project a little bit in order to get it passed so that the budget can be approved and so on. You're crazy. The only organizations where people don't play politics is the cemetery. Okay. You want a politics-free life, die. That's the only way it's going to happen. And we're not suggesting you become a politician. We're suggesting you become aware of the politics of things and you understand when a slight nudge, a little extra, a favor returned, a favor given, so on, can make a difference. Now, you may find that objectionable, but look, I find poverty objectionable, but I haven't solved the problem. So get used to it. There are going to be politics and there are ways around.
Yeah, I used to rock climb, and I didn't like gravity because sometimes it caused me to get hurt.
There you go.
But acting as if gravity didn't exist probably wouldn't be a good method.
Yeah. And by the way, folks, Mike and I speak from experience. Neither one of us wanted to play politics. We ended up doing it. And by the way, we didn't cave. We just wisened up.
Yeah, we're not talking about doing anything unethical, right? That's not what we're saying.
Yeah. Okay, so look, a lot of people like it when we give a little bit of, here's what I would say. So here's what you might say to your direct regarding your policy and how you'll be implementing the corporate policies on talent markets. You could say this: hey, look, I want you to know that working for me means you're a free agent all the time. Regardless of company policies, as it relates to me, you don't have to get my approval to post for another job. There'll be no negative repercussions from me for you for going out and finding a better job here. You probably know that if you do go post, I'll be told if you do. Or even if I'm not officially told, I'll find out. Somebody will whisper to me. If you don't know it, let me just tell you, there are no secrets, okay? But I won't be a barrier, okay? Just because you don't tell me, if you then go interview and I find out, I'm not going to then pinch you because of what you did. I'm telling you, you're free to do it. I don't want you to see me as friction between you and your career. Don't worry about me finding out after you've already started. I'm not going to go back on my word. Okay. This is true whether you're my best performer or whether you're my worst performer. Now look, of course, if you end up getting the job, yeah, you leaving is going to be a detriment to the team. But dude, that can't stand in your way. Okay? That's my job. Okay? It's my job, not your job, to run the team. Is it possible the organization will communicate something to the hiring manager if you're too important here on my team? It's possible. It happens. But it won't be my doing. I won't privately ask somebody to do that to the other boss. Now, look, it would certainly help me to have as much advance notice as possible. You can tell me so I can prepare. I'm not telling you you're free agent, so keep it to yourself. But again, that's not going to create a problem for us. The first thing I'm going to do when you tell me is to wish you well. Okay? I'll provide whatever reference I can internally. I'll speak frankly in support of you to the hiring manager if I'm contacted. If there's any way for me to speak frankly in support of you. If I think it's a wrong move, look, I'll tell you so, but I'm not going to stop you from doing it. That's it. No, it's not fancy.
Yeah, that's, well, folks, just think how you'd feel if you were told that. Right?
This is a good boss.
This is easy.
While face-to-face training is optional, your organization can still learn effective managerial and communication behaviors even if they're not sitting in the office. We take great pride in working with our client groups where we can spend time upfront with your scheduled virtual training, getting to know your mission, current practices, pain points, and we can tailor some of our guidance to best fit your organization's daily mantra. Just as when we come on site, we can deliver a very similar training virtually over Zoom in reasonable blocks of time, where your remote teams can focus and participate. We've had great success in the past 6 weeks helping organizations continue their support of growing managerial and professional acumen, albeit not in a typical office environment. If you're interested to learn more about our programs, contact Maggie at maggie@manager-tools.com. She can help you find the right solution for your team.
Okay, our next point, educate them on your org's policies and procedures. So you've told them how you feel about it, but they need to know what the organization's policies are.
Yeah, now look, in this particular case, there are too many ways that organizations today handle internal talent markets to cover all of them. But as a general rule, if an employee's existing manager is required to release someone, or even if that manager is required to be told, there's a chance that the organization wants to control the internal talent market. Now, that isn't always inherently bad, but it does usually dampen retention. And just because an employee only has to tell their boss doesn't mean it's a free agent market. Managers may be obligated to tell their boss, who might intervene. Managers might have to tell their HR business partner. HR might get involved. They might try to talk the employee out of the move. Oh, we're considering you for something else. It's a, you know, there's slots. We're doing a domino theory here and you're involved. You know, I don't believe those things anymore. I used to, but I don't. And yes, there are some places where HR thinks that they are in control of a giant internal talent market chessboard, and they get to make all the moves. We have to let our directs know what the company policies are, and your directs probably don't. It's not enough to simply refer them to an HR intranet page. There are probably not just policies, but there are rules of thumb and power centers and procedures that create additional stressors for somebody wanting to move. And also, think bigger picture about your org's policies too as you become a more seasoned manager. Think about your ability to influence your organization. A truly frictionless talent market will ultimately determine both great managers and poor managers, right? The good employees will run away from poor managers. Poor managers will struggle to keep great people, or frankly, any people. Great managers will attract them. If a poor manager is in an area where the goals are achievable and they lock down their people, they can actually get rewarded by being a poor manager and not allowing their people to leave. That's where a friction-filled talent market is a problem. It may be not a problem for that manager, but that's a case of sub-optimization. You've optimized the manager at the expense of sub-optimizing the entire organization. Now look, you don't have to do this at the same time you tell them they're free agents. You can ask them to research what the policies and procedures are in a few months. Ask them to brief you after they learn about them. It's possible they've changed and nobody communicated it to you. It's good for you to know that. Better than you having to check policies every 90 or 180 days in order to make sure you're on top of things. And you may have to go to your boss and say, hey, I don't know. What are the official and unofficial rules about this? So that you can tell your direct.
Now, here's another situation that comes up occasionally. It's come up for me, actually, where I had a direct who was looking for a promotion. Right? Mm-hmm. They want a promotion. And frankly, they weren't ready. I had some standards about what it took to be a manager. And at that time, this is before I knew Mark Horseman, I hadn't formalized it into something like the 150% rule. If this situation comes up, you have to be able to explain why somebody would not be promoted.
Yeah, you keep just saying, well, you're not ready. You know, not really there right. yet.
I probably said something like stupid, yeah. like,
sorry.
That's
sorry,
probably what I said.
Yeah. So if one of your directs wants to post for a promotion, that's great. We're talking specifically here about promotions. And a lot of times people mistakenly believe that when we talk about growth, that means promotions. We don't mean that all the time. The internal talent market, if somebody wants to go from individual contributor role to different individual contributor role, that's fine with us. We have no problem with that. We think that's good. If the person is more productive in the new role, we want them there. Productivity is what we're shooting for. We want them to be happy. And we're not suggesting that that other manager is a better manager than us if we let our person go from our team to their team. We may be a better manager. And we're a better manager in part because we let them go to a place they're more productive, even if they go to a boss that maybe isn't quite as good as a manager tools manager. But in this case, if your direct is wanting a promotion, and by that I mean usually to management, then there's a little bit of a special case. If one of your folks wants a promotion, maybe not to your job per se, you need to tell them about the 150% rule, which we have released in previous guidance. But briefly, the 150% rule means that to advance up the hierarchy, a direct needs not only to deliver results at 100% at their level, they have to be able to do all of their job and do it well. They also have to have learned roughly 50% of the next level's job as well. And again, we have guidance on this called the 150% rule in its own podcast by that name. What you don't want here is one of your directs thinking they're ready, getting promoted, and then discovering they were not ready. And you can see where if they don't have to tell you, if you've released them as a free agent and you don't know that what they're wanting is a promotion, you don't get a chance to tell them, dude, I'm just telling you, when you get a promotion, you've got to have played around with that higher level job before. You can't become a manager not knowing how to run a meeting, not knowing how to handle a budget, not knowing how to handle conflict between directs, not knowing how to manage a project across the organization. Because if all of those things are new, on top of all the other things that are new, the job will eat you up. And people say all the time that they ask us, because they assume they know the answer, what's the toughest promotion of all? And everyone always thinks it's, oh, going from being a peer to being a manager. And I say, no, that's not true. And I'll give you 100 examples of managers who were peers with other managers and then got promoted to be a director. And it's not even a blip. Nobody minds it. And they do a good job as a director. In fact, better than somebody who had been put in there above them that didn't know everybody on the team. No, the toughest promotion of all is to go from individual contributor manager. I make no bones that it is harder sometimes if you were friends with your peers and now you're their manager. But I find that interesting. You must not have been very good friends with them that they're not sitting there cheering you on and doing everything they can to make you look good when you become their manager. I always wonder, what kind of friends do people have that they turn on them the moment they get power? Good point. It sounds like some dystopian society. So the toughest promotion is to go from individual contributor to manager. And there are far too many individual contributors that want a little bit of power. They like the idea that, you know, they'll have a chance to influence other people. And they have no idea that there are some parts of the job that are fairly tactical, fairly regulated. Not regulated, it's not the right word. But they're known behaviors, and they don't know how to do them. And the moment they get promoted, everything's new. And if one of your people gets promoted to another part of the organization to become a manager, and you stand by, which in part you may be doing because of the free agency, and then they fail, that tarnishes your reputation, whether you like to admit it or not.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a dangerous time in their career, and you want to do everything you can to help prepare them for a promotion. So they need to know your 150 rule.
Yeah, and talking about preparing your direct for a promotion, I think a lot of times, particularly frontline employees, they're thinking about their next job. They're excited about, you know, their next job, and they often don't think about, nor do many of them have experience with, what a professional has to do when transitioning to a new job. And you need to educate them on that.
Yeah, someone needs to teach them that part of their transition includes leaving where you are, in this case, for you guys, working for you, leaving where you are in a professional way. We need to tell them this before they use their free agency, get an offer, accept it, and then either get, or even worse, succumb to pressure to start immediately in their new role, okay? In other words, you don't tell them that they need to make a good transition, but you tell them they're a free agent. 3 months later, they don't know they have to handle their transition well. They go out, they interview, they don't tell you, and that's okay. They get an offer and the new boss says, look, I just want to be clear. I mean, I have to have you today or tomorrow. We are going down in flames here and you're going to be our savior. You've got the exact skills we need. And I know your old boss is going to be sad, but I'm pretty sure everybody above me and your boss and the organization say, oh my gosh, yes, we got to have you over there. And so he says, well, you know, my boss is a good guy and she's understanding and she's told me I'm a free agent. So I'm sure that won't be a problem. Okay. Now he comes back to you and says, look, I went ahead. I'm shocked. It happened all at once. And I suddenly have an offer. And my boss says, I got to start tomorrow. They're going down in flames. And you nod your head and you say, yeah, I've heard about that. And, you know, I'm glad you got through the process over there, but you can't go over there today. You have an obligation. There's work that needs to be done here. You can't simply leave. It would be unprofessional. And you wouldn't want to repay my professional courtesy by letting you be a free agent and find where you want to go with a slap in the face of leaving everything undone. And so you're going to have to go back to your boss and tell him you need a transition period. Now, of course, your person goes back to the boss and now there's tension. Now there's conflict. It would have been handled very differently if during the interview process, the boss says something like, you know, we're going down in flames here. You're going to be our savior. I need you to start on day one. And your person says, listen, I'm sorry. I work for a great boss. You know, he told me I had free agency. He supports my move. He wants me to find the right place to go. And he's also made clear, and it makes total sense to me, I have to leave in a professional way. And that's going to take a week or two. And I'm sorry. All I can tell you is, what if I hadn't found out about your opening for another week or two? So, if this works out, I'll be happy to accept. But that acceptance comes with a professional transition period for all my old boss.
Right. And do we have any guidance on that? That'd probably be useful guidance.
We do. There's a podcast called How to Resign.
If I didn't know.
Yeah. Now, How to Resign has some stuff in it that's not. It's about leaving the company, but you can leave that stuff out. This is just a shortened version of how to leave a job that you're in. And there's stuff you need to do in advance. By the way, it's the professional equivalent in some ways of Marie Kondo's guidance about the wonderful joy or whatever it is of cleaning up, of tidying up. And your smartest directs will know they shouldn't be a whirlwind at work making all kinds of stuff happen, but then making a terrible mess. You should be an outstanding success at work while keeping things neat and straight and organized so that when you do leave, it's a fairly straightforward process to do some transition briefings to bring people up to date. And the more squared away you are day to day, the easier it is to make a transition.
Amen, brother. That's yeah. And that applies around the house too. You youngsters, maybe still living at home. Not that I have any experience with this at all. Okay. Another thing we need to remind these folks about: results and relationships. It's important. They need to know that.
Yeah. Look, at some point in your education of a new team member, make sure they understand that results, looking good, right, in terms of getting things done, are not enough alone to have a great career. It's what most people focus on. And rightly so, but an internal career in an organization won't simply be magically propelled by great results alone. They have to build relationships in other parts of the organization. Those relationships will alert them to opportunities and good bosses and bad bosses. We've seen plenty of less experienced folks go get a great job or role or responsibilities only to discover later why it's open, a terrible boss. And most bosses who are terrible can get away with faking it for an hour interview. Okay. And unfortunately, after 2 months, 3 months in the job, they won't be able to get out fast enough. Or worse, if there are friction creating organizational principles or policies, maybe they won't be able to get out at all without leaving the firm. And you can't have that. So you got to teach your people to get their job done, but you also got to teach them they have to start building their internal network. And if you're wondering how people build internal networks, as you might imagine, there's a cast for that.
Oh, that was good, dude. I when we first talked about the topic, I was like, but this is a lot of good stuff.
You have little faith.
I should stop doing that.
It's only been 15 years, dude, you know.
I know. This will be the one time it's not that good.
Speaking of 15 years, this podcast is coming out very near our 15th anniversary.
Indeed.
Our next podcast will be our 15th anniversary cast. Okay, so summarizing real quick, guys. Our roles as managers means we not only have to encourage and inspire our directs to results, we also have to retain them. Retention doesn't necessarily only mean keeping them on our team. It means keeping them as part of the organization. And one important way to retain talent is to do what we can to make our internal talent market as frictionless as possible. Folks, another shout out here to a long-term licensee, David Hislop. Has been with us since the very beginning. I think he came to our first Sydney conference many, many moons ago. Been with us nearly 15 years from down under. And David, it's guys like you we're doing this for. And we're glad you're a part of our community. It's a privilege to serve you.
Awesome. All right, my friend. Thank you. I enjoyed that.
Thanks, partner.
Thanks, everyone. That's it. We'll see you next week. Have a great one. So long.